Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Cheryl Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Cheryl Clark.
Well, welcome. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Inner Discovery Hour with Greg and Cheryl. And as always, my name is Gregory Clark Sr. And to my side is my lovely wife, Cheryl Clark.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
And as always, we are here counting down the Marching Towards Your Success series. We're on part four of the five-part series that we're doing for the month of March. And this week, we'll be dealing with taking calculated risks and the implementation of technology in your plan. Those are two beneficial parts to lead you towards the success that you're leading towards in your particular endeavors. And Cheryl, can you give the people out there the telephone number if they wish to call us?
You can reach us at 347-996-3160. That again, 347-996-3160.
And also, if you have not done so, hopefully you should have, but if you have not done so, you should like our Facebook page at facebook.com/thecouplemotivators. Again, facebook.com/thecouplemotivators. And we're going to probably spend a little time on these, on ways 7 and 8. And next week will be the finale of this particular series as we are moving towards the next stage is in April. And also, if you would like to email us to get in contact with us, you can hit us up at thecouplemotivators@gmail.com. Again, thecouplemotivators@gmail.com. So before we jump into number 7, which is taking calculated risk, we dealt with it probably a little bit in the prior episodes, but this is the episode that we're really going to delve into it. Because even as Cheryl stated on earlier episodes, when it came time for her to start the daycare business, it was a calculated risk. It was the understanding that she was coming from one particular level to another. And Cheryl, if you would like to share with the people, why do you feel the calculated risk that you took when you decided to move from being just an employee to move towards a level of being an entrepreneur?
Well, entrepreneurship is something that the reason why we started the Couple Motivators in regards to that, taking any type of moving from a security of a job, which you may say, working for the city, which I was working for, and moving into your own business takes some type of risk. Calculated, yes, because you have to plan out what you're going to do. The time that I was sitting there at work at the 9 to 5, I was happened to work at a library, so I was collecting all the information feeding my mind of what I should do as an entrepreneur, moving into that next STEM as an entrepreneur. How do you move from being a 9 to 5 worker and then moving into entrepreneurship? Because that's a whole new vein of moving into entrepreneurship. And because of the economy is not, it doesn't have any stability in it. We need to make our own stability in your own economy. The couple should make their own economy in this endeavor. Become into two minds, put together. And if you decide to have moving into the entrepreneurship, if that's something that you think that you need to do, find, like we talked about last week, what is your strength? What is your passion? Move on it. Probably your time to do so if it's been urging you to do. It's just that risk that you're not moving on.
And that's very good. And one of the things that I've learned over time is that successful people step out big and they think big. See, one of the things that Cheryl alluded to while she was sitting there at the library, she took the opportunity to take advantage of that time. See, at times we can sit there and don't realize that things around us are there for a reason. And by her taking that ample time during that season, being pregnant, taking the opportunity to say, you know, instead of me just sitting here collecting the check, let me prepare myself, let me prepare my mind, let me prepare where I'm going today. And that was a risk because technically, when you really think about it, she shouldn't have been doing that while she was working at the job, assisting those that she was supposed to be assisting on her job. But I, as much as that, we say, see, that was a calculated risk. Because, see, we wouldn't tell most of you out there to, we wouldn't advise that necessarily. Depending on your level of comfort, your level of security at your position, there are plenty of people who are doing their side gig while they're doing their 9-to-5 so they can build up what they wish to do while they're working for someone else. But you have to be very, very careful, as Cheryl alluded to. The economy, as much as that has grown and stock market prices are going up and people saying there's stabilization in the real estate market, you still have to be mindful. You are just one situation or one decision, or not even that, one thought from someone who could be your superior in that particular company from being let go. And then what do you have to show for it? And these days of just looking at unemployment or just looking from the standpoint of how you're going to navigate, how the bills are going to get paid and things of that nature, you have to understand that sometimes you have to throw out that, as they would say, you would have to throw out that that line way out deep if you really want to get the deep fish, if you really want to get the stuff that's going to sustain you for the long haul and things of that nature. So, Cheryl, in reference to those calculated risks that you've taken and even the risks that you've taken, that you took when it came to you going back to school and doing things to expand your consciousness and expand where you felt that you wanted to go, what is it that allowed you to be successful while taking those risks?
Well, like the word that I ended with last week, if you haven't seen it, we give motivated little scripts of motivating words, and it was commitment. You have to stick with it. It may not work if you don't have commitment.
What do you mean you may not work?
Because if you're not committed to something, it's not going to work. I just didn't get clients at my door. When I opened the doors, okay, I'm licensed, and the children just didn't start pouring in. What happened is that I had to take my children, I had three children at the time, and wait for my husband and my mother to get home because they were staying with me. And I would go out at night and put up flyers. I would go to the school and network. I would start getting myself out there to let people know that there's a new facility, a quality daycare around here that you can now send your children to. And it's all about you going out there, whatever it is. If you're a baker and you sit home in your thumbs and you only bake for your family and you decide to be a baker, how are you going to get out? Have you ever taken any culinary classes, or have you ever went out to say, who knows that you have a baking process if you're not networking? And also, Marissa, I didn't say before, was a part of a leap of faith. That connects us. We are very... we have spiritual principles that we always work through. And I believe that something that was going to work because we put out, I put my faith where my dream was. There was something about doing that. And also with me going back to school, I knew that was calculated too because I had six children. And I know I wanted to raise them. And I said to myself, everyone in the house knew the plan that when our youngest son was to hit kindergarten, I was going back to school. And I did just that. That was always the plan. The kids never stopped me from doing what I need to do. And I just wanted to say something. As we're marching in with the month of March, March is also Women's Month. If you don't know that, and women have something in them that gives them some type of push and some type of something that we have. I love being a woman, and it's a wonderful thing that something that we have, this strength inside of us, that we're able to have babies, and there's something that we're able to do something and multitask and do a lot of things and come about. I don't know how I had six children and became a uh, and have a daycare and went back to school. I don't know how I did it, but I know it was the grace of God, and I know that there was things and a push and a drive within me that I know that it was purpose-driven and calculated. And we should always make sure that we know and that we know that we know what we're doing and go forth in that. And without having you not having any education behind you, meaning be an avid learner. Why are you not reading? What are you reading? Mm. And what is edifying your mind? And who's edifying your mind? So you got to make sure who's in your ear. You got to make sure what are you doing. And what those things are, do you feel like the people around you are not where you want to be, then change your surroundings, change the people around you. If you think that you want to be a baker, hang around those people that are already have a baker. What do they do? If you think that you want to have your own fleet of trucks, then what is it that they have to do that? And you can't sit at home all day and decide that, oh, I'm going to be this, and don't take any effort into doing it. So the one thing you got to do is calculate a risk, take the risk. It's going to be worth it. What is it going to hurt? But do your homework while doing the risk.
Very good. And one of the things which is interesting in taking the calculated risk, sometimes I wouldn't say the word partnering up with your competition, but as Cheryl alluded to, if you wish to do something, sometimes you have to start navigating that process with those who either are doing exactly what you wish to do or doing it at a high level to see, you know, sometimes to pick their brain, to find out how they did it. Sometimes we can take too much energy or spend too much energy trying to reinvent the wheel, where the wheel is already there, and we've dealt with it in previous episodes in reference to there's a point of emulation and copying. Those are two different words, even though it seems like the same thing. Emulation is that you may be finding someone who can mentor you in a particular process, but you're going to just take what you've learned and try to run with it and create your own. And then you have people who turn into copies who basically just want to sit there and just wait for someone to say, okay, whatever they're doing, I'm just going to do it exactly what they're doing. And those are the people that get lost in the shuffle, because the person who's really thinking outside the box, the person who's really the catalyst for growing the idea, if they're not making any more moves, then where are you going if you're a copy? And one of the things that I can attest from what Cheryl did, Cheryl went out there, and as she said, she networked. There were times that she was in people's faces that I didn't readily agree with, but as hindsight, it's 2020, some of those situations was good. She knew how to meander through the field, as they would say. And sometimes you have to meander through the field. Sometimes you have to get out of that zone of just saying that you're just going to be in this particular box and you're just going to work it in this box. And if you try to work it within this box, you're limited to that box. But if you can allow yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to find out how they're doing it over here, or what type of advertising skills that they're implementing over here, or the skills that they're utilizing over here that I might even have already within inside of me, and I just need to put it in place for my particular enterprise, those are the times that you need to step out of the box and sometimes speak to a competitor. How do you feel, Cheryl, as I've stated that there have been times that you've spoken to competitors, you've spoken to individuals when it comes to trainings and things of that nature?
Well, I don't see people as my competition. I see people, if I give, there's a lot in the universe, I feel. So if I ever get a chance to give somebody some type of help, I do. If I see any time someone asks me a question, I remember there's 4 daycares on our block.
Mm-hmm.
And people are knocking on our doors. It's not about what people could take. I remember someone coming, there used to be a lady that she opened up a daycare. She would wait outside my gate for my clients. And the whole point is, I offered my assistance, I offered my help at any point in time, but it's not the point is that you get what you give back. If you give maliciousness in the ether, that's what you will get back. if you give positivity in the ethers, that's what you get back. And our spirit and our what we give here is comes from a place of love, and it comes from a place of just wanting to do and give back. And I think that's why this our facility has been so blessed, because there was a time and place where when I first started, I people took advantage of me. And there's certain things that I've learned how to do and how to go and through those pitfalls. But to know that if someone comes and asks me, how do I open a daycare? And my husband can attest to this. I will sit down and tell him from A to Z of how to open one.
Yes, you will.
And I will, and they could be opening it across the street. I remember someone came by the door, and they was inquiring, and she lived across the street and inquiring about opening a child care. And I sat down and I told her from A to Z. And my husband looked at me and said, why are you saying that's your competition? And I said to him, I said, they're not my competition.
Yes, I
said, because there are so much more that I can give, like just by just giving and giving and giving, because I know it'll come back to me, and it has. Our doors, as much as I said in the beginning that I had to advertise, my parents are mostly my advertising people for us now, because
of word of mouth,
about how our services are here. So anytime you get a chance to help someone, anytime you feel like something is going to be taken away from you if you don't help somebody, that's something that you need to check inside yourself. You need to do a self-check. Because I feel that anytime you try to hold something back, you're holding back your own blessing. So it's best to just give it away, because most times it'll come back to you tenfold if you learn to just give it away. And I'm not telling you services is not need for it to get paid for it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, information is powerful. You never know when the next time you turn the corner, your next stepping stone, or what it be, you may meet a divine connection for you. So you never know what you need to give to somebody else. Maybe they just need a helping hand. I'm not saying to give your recipe, your golden recipe away. If that is your cookie recipe, and I'm not saying to give grandma's sweet recipe away, but what I'm saying is that if you started a cooking business and you're being successful, why not tell that up-and-coming entrepreneur how you did it? What's the steps?
Very good. And one of the things and listening to her, listening while Cheryl was speaking, it kind of hit me that it vibrated in my ear to say that the worst calculated risk that you can do is not to be a blessing to others. And the reason why that's a calculated risk not to help, as Cheryl was stating, is because it's something that we understand from a spiritual aspect, even from a metaphysical aspect. What you try to hold on to so tightly, if you always got to, you know, pounce on things and be in so much of a control of a situation, that's when things start to become brittle. That's when things start to become a little bit more more tenuous. Because now you're trying to hold on to a situation where technically if you just let it go and let it freely flow and let it come out of you and let it emanate out of you. So as Cheryl said, I for one at that particular moment, maybe it was because of her prior experiences dealing with other people, but that particular person that she helped has their business right now, and they're doing okay. I walk by and I see that they have children and stuff like that. And one of the things that I have to give respect to my wife about, by her having a connection with that individual, then I ended up having a connection with the husband, that we became neighborly and friendly and things of that nature, and kind of expand the consciousness in reference to and it transcended the business. So sometimes those calculated risks that are appearing to be so are not necessarily there for you just to sit on your hands and say, well, you know, we're going to just keep all this information for ourselves and we're going to just have the best thing on the block. And as Cheryl alluded to, going back to a cookie business, if you go on any supermarket, any bodega, how many different cookies are on the shelves? So you can't sit there and say only your cookie is going to be the only one on the market. There's different flavors, different situations, different styles, and different experiences. And as long as you figure out what your experience is and what you're willing to give, then you become something that's lasting long. And as she's saying, we're going on 17 years now from the initial one. The other ones have been not as long, but the nexus point and the genesis point for when it came to reference to the daycare businesses was the one that was established roughly almost 17 years ago. So things that you're looking for, things that you wish to aspire for when it comes to taking risk, if you don't take the calculated risk, you're going to stay in the wrong box, and you stay in that wrong box, that means someone else is controlling your time. And by us, and by Cheryl initially, and then by me coming in afterwards, by us taking the opportunity to be risk takers, then you have more control over your time. You have anything to add before we move on to the next? Okay. Number 8, which is right up my alley, but at the same time, my wife has become much more adept and skilled when it comes to things of technology. There were even certain things that I do now that she was the one who kind of showed me a little inroad in how to do certain things. So it's good to have two individuals who at least are, even if you're not at the level to being a coder or a programmer, but just to be adept in the ways of what's going on around you. And that's the implementation of technology in your overall plan, even in the daycare that we have right here. From having a media player to having computers for the kids to do their homework when they come in from after school and things of that nature. How would you, Cheryl, how would you share with the people in reference to how implementation of technology can work within their plan, depending on what they're doing?
Well, in order to be successful in this day and age, technology is a necessity in your business or even for your family. We are, like we said, we are parents of six. Even if you're not technology savvy, you had better be if you have children, because they will try.
Wow.
And if you have a phone, I mean, there was someone told me that they had bought their child an iPod, and it was so funny. And they said, you know, she had the iPod, and she had these strict things that, you know, they couldn't do this, and they couldn't do that. And she said one day she just happened to go to their room, and the child was on Facebook on the iPod. She was like, I didn't even know that they can get Wi-Fi on the iPod. And it's just amazing how the children are knowing so many things. They can pick up the cool hotspots around here and get in the Wi-Fi on an iPod. So you're not, we have to be very technical, very, if we're going to even implement it in our business, not even talk about our business, but as parents, we need to understand that we're from a different generation, and our children are being raised up in a generation of technology. So they don't know anything about, I tell this funny story all the time about my son had a play date over, and they were in the room playing, and I said, did you call your mom? And he goes, no. I said, well, go call your mom. So he used the house phone, and he says, what is this sound? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, this sound. I said, give me the phone. And I listened, it was a dial tone. And I said, you know what? It's funny because the kids nowadays have no idea about a rotary phone, about a dial tone. It don't even have a clue about dial a one before the number. And it was just hilarious to me. And I'm like, boy, that's a dial tone. And he's like, what's a dial tone? And because it really, in actuality, when they have a cell phone, you don't hear a dial tone. You just dial the number. And it brought me back to say that technology has catapulted us into another type of future, that if we do not have technology sound, then we need to get in classes and sit down behind dinner class and get technology sound. There are certain things in a computer that I've learned to do where I will go on YouTube a lot because there's a lot of times where you can learn a lot of things on
YouTube
on the web. It's a lot of things I've learned on YouTube. You just plug in something. I've learned how to do edit things, edit photos. I've learned a lot. And because I'm a visual learner, so that's wonderful to me. As where I probably going to pick up a pamphlet, I would most likely say, just show me how to do it, and I can get it. So the thing is, you got to learn technology, but technology is your friend, and we shouldn't be scared of it. But we should be able to sit down and do that. So if you do have a cookie business, it'd probably be wise for you to get on Facebook and Instagram and things of that nature and grow your business and
yeah.
YouTube and to learn those things and just capture yourself on video or branding yourself in that way. Maybe you're the next famous Kathy. There's famous Amos out there. Maybe you're the next famous Kathy. Who knows? If you have a cookie business or a candy business or something along those lines. Or if it's not food, like I said, truck fleet. It doesn't matter. The whole point is that if you see that vision for yourself, then go get in a class, go get under some tutelage of someone that has the knowledge already, and glean from them. If you have time to volunteer, that's a lot. Experience, getting your hands-on experience is the best knowledge you will ever have.
Mm.
Because in school, especially when you go for your master's, there's something called either a practicum or internship that you're going to have to do because that hands-on experience is a must. So even with doctors, they're practitioners. They're practicing on us. And we were just talking about this the other day when I had an operation and it failed. Because it was an intern, it was practicing. It's not 100%, but you sign something that says that 3%. Nothing is ever 100. So, but that's the thing is that you're learning. But what are you learning?
Very good. And one of the things that, as Cheryl was sharing and it came to mind, if you don't have at least basic computing skills, and as Cheryl was alluding to, Facebook page, especially if you're in business, we're going to just give you some little nuggets. If you're on Facebook, it's not necessary just to be on Facebook just to see, you know, some of the weird stuff that's going on. You should be on Facebook to network, to figure out things that's working. As Cheryl said, YouTube. YouTube went from something about 8 years ago where people were thinking that this thing was going to get shut down because all it was people trying to figure out ways to do music videos and just to look at videos. And now you're talking about from this morning, watching television this morning, there's people who are making hundreds of millions of dollars off of YouTube. Just from them putting their videos up, just from them sharing their experiences, just for them, as Cheryl stated, as we did for ourselves, branding yourself. See, especially if you follow us, this symbol that you see on our shirts, it's prominent all over the place. It's about letting people know who you are, how we step out of the crowd. How do you allow yourself to step out of the crowd? And that's probably something we'll deal with later on when it comes to branding. Because I'm starting to get more and more, well, I'm familiar with it, but I know that to give it the proper justice, we would have to deal with probably a show or two in reference to just branding. Just to understanding about, you know, what is it that you're, what vibration are you sending out, especially when you're Instagramming, when you're Facebooking, when you're LinkedIn, if you're on Google+. And people might, some of you who might be listening to us probably saying, you know, what are those things? If you don't know what those things are, I hate to say this, but you should, and you better know, and you better start implementing it. Because now there's different apparatuses for people to see you, connect with you, for you to build who you are and help build others. There are so many things that we put up at times that people come back and say, you know, you blessed us. You know, a couple motivators blessed us because y'all put up X, Y, and Z. And I feel great about that because that's what we're sending. That's the vibration that we're sending out. So if you're not understanding some of the things that is going on around you, and as Cheryl shared, you know, as just being parents, when you start hearing the lingo and, you know, some of you may not like some of these words that's about to come out of my mouth, but when you hear YOLO or FOT or, you know, and all the other little different vernaculars that are thrown out there, you're sitting there thinking that, oh, your kids are just saying, no, you need to find out, you know, some of the speak that your children are speaking about. And it's not necessarily going off plan with number 8 with implementation of technology. Actually, it runs stock and barrel with it. Because after a while, you have to start to become adept in that type of language, in that type of vernacular. When someone's talking about, well, what's your IG? Some people might think that you're asking, you know, someone who's a little older, probably in a previous generation, is probably thinking, are you actually trying to say IQ? It's like, no, I want your IG. I want to connect with you on your IG. And if you don't understand that, now that becomes something else. That kind of shows where there can be a particular disconnect from you being successful. Because we're not in the 20th century anymore. We're not in the 19th century where the Industrial Revolution, you know, revolutionized a particular, where people were going from, you know, just using the cattle of the ground. So all of a sudden factories are coming up. In the 20th century, we went from factory to industry. And now in the 21st century is actually more or less your mental capacity and your mental, how you're actually manipulating how you are presenting yourself. And it's not necessarily just, as Cheryl said, you know, you can have the greatest cookie. People won't buy the cookie from you if they can't see it, if they can't envision it before they touch it. It's not like before where, you know, okay, I'm just going to create a product, get some investors, get some advertising, go on TV, and people will buy it. It doesn't work that way no more. There's thousands upon thousands of channels now, channels being created every other month. There's so many different ways for people who are trying to get these eye gates and get into your brain, that if you don't allow yourself to implement the plan when it comes to technology, you might be behind the eight ball. Even though the eight ball is black, and that's a good thing, but you might be behind the curve where it is for you to be successful. And Cheryl, like what you're doing in, as a therapist now, how is that going along? Because I know before people used to have to write whatever treatment plans and things of that nature, but now there's a process now that even everywhere is migrating towards technology.
Oh, yeah. With technology now in regards to not even the treatment plans, I would say it's more Skyping. We could need to do more ethics in regards to Skyping, how we do therapy via Skype. There's some ethics that we have to go through, and Skype was not something that that we did. It was either phone or, and even phone is something new, but in regards to technology, in regards to therapy, Skyping through like we see ICU through the video, there needs to be some boundaries set up in regards to that, and your safety set up, and to make sure that you're okay doing therapy. So in regards to our treatment plan and stuff like that, I'm sure that it's, you know, doing all companies how things are done on the computer now, moving through the computer in regards to how we charge and how we do things of that nature. But it's just a lot of what we need to start doing in regards to being just ethical as a therapist.
Mainly. Okay. And so remember, technology is your friend. Technology is something that's not going away. Even to the point where I would say that we have a family member who's not really technologically savvy, but she has grown leaps and bounds based from where she was. From one point from, she was like, okay, this thing that you put in front of me with this monitor, get it away from me. I don't want to touch it. So now she got her own Facebook, and the kids are working with her. And yes, I'm talking about Cheryl's mother, who is leaps and bounds. Believe me, there was one point she wouldn't touch the keyboard. But now you see her downstairs. She's navigating. She's looking for stuff. She's printing out stuff for the kids in the daycare. She's doing this. She's figuring out the technology. She's working the remotes, and it's a great thing.
But I think it also comes back with training
and
implementation of the leadership in your facility. So if you are, if you did listen to our other shows, leadership, to have leadership, you have to be able to lead. And then your team can only go as big as you are. So if you're only a five, your team can only rise to a four. So what is that? You can't keep growing and then not teach your staff and then expect your business to grow. It's impossible. So as we learn, we teach. We teach our staff. As we learn, we give out. If we learn, we bring in the new technology. When we learn different things in regards to teaching, we work hand in hand with the school system. When they have to be able to learn, what do the children need to, we're going into education, we're going to kindergarten, what do they need to have under their belts? We're going there. And usually the reason why parents like our program is because when the children leave here, they are knowing far more than what they need to know in starting kindergarten. So, and because we take them from when they're little and going up to kindergarten, get them prepared for kindergarten in regards to getting them over-prepared. So, and as we know that a lot of our Latino and African-American children are usually in the socioeconomic areas of low income, we have to make sure that we go over and beyond. And if there's anything going on with their education, we need to catch that immediately and start really, really vigorously trying to give the resources to the family members of the children that's having the difficulty, because we don't know what's going on. So I bring my expertise in regards to the therapy portion of it, and Greg brings his expertise in with the education portion of it. And so then that two marries each other. So then we have extra support and resources for the family. And that's what you need in your business. You want to be an ample point of resource for your clientele. What are you giving back? What are you saying to them? What are you providing? What are you providing for your audience? And that is what you need to understand, that you're there for. You're there for a reason. You're there to help. You're there to assist. And what is it that the people need from you? What is it that the people are going to glean from you? What is it? And that's what you need to find out.
Very good. So as we about to wrap up way number eight, in reference to, you know, the implementation of technology, we want you to be successful. Now, let me remove that word want, because all want begets more want. We see for you to be successful. We see for those who connect with us here in the Couple Motivators to be successful. There's a lot of things that we will be doing that we will be Skyping you. We will be webinaring you. We will be teleconferencing. We will be, you know, maybe doing a Google Hangout where, you know, it's going to be 20 different, you know, screens up there, and you can pick and choose who you want to speak to, mute out, and everything else. And the different technologies out there, you have to be abreast of what is going on. And Cheryl shared something that was a very valid point. When it comes to our urbanized communities, you know, you can tell people who can sit there and, you know, just look for YouTube so they can look at music videos or, you know, download movies and things of that nature. But then when it comes to implement a plan with a PowerPoint presentation and things of that nature, they look at you like you're talking Greek, or, you know, create a Word document, or, you know, make sure it's an APA, ADA, MPA, whatever. And then they're looking at you like you're talking a different language. We need to make sure, especially in our communities, in those communities, regardless of socioeconomic status, that we allow you, technology is more than just an apparatus of entertainment. that it becomes something that is useful for. And Cheryl shared her story about the young man. I share my story when it comes to technology, and when I tell our kids, that says, pre-Google, y'all have it easy. Because pre-Google, when we wanted to do a report, and my wife, we're in the same generation, she remembers she had to go to the library the same way I did. You would have to go for, you know, encyclopedia was that thing in the house that came in different volumes, not something that you just access by typing it on the screen. As much as I love technology, there are certain things, and that can go to, for another day in another case, but the implementation of technology within your overall plan for you to be successful has to be there. Don't be scared of this apparatus. Don't be scared of this computer. And hopefully most of you now who are in this age are not at that particular point, and you're taking advantage of what is going on around us in this informational highway, and use it to your advantage, regardless if you feel that you're going to be a preacher, baker, candlestick maker, teacher, anything else. Cheryl can go on this on a particular program. She can see our kids' grades. See, it wasn't like that when we were growing up. Our parents probably had to wait till they got that piece of paper in the hand. Right now, you don't have to wait till the piece of paper is in the hand. You can find out if your child is missing homework assignments right then and there at a particular moment. So make sure that you have the ability to use technology around you effectively and not just for entertainment purposes. So that is wave 7 and wave 8 in reference to taking calculated risk. And, you know, you want to give a quick synopsis of calculated risk, and I'll give a synopsis of implementation of technology.
Sure. Calculated risk for me is just moving by faith. And if you know that you know that you know, do your homework, do the things that you need to do in regards to that, get under a mentor. And once you do those things, taking a calculated risk is something that it's going to come natural to you, because you're going to have the things set in place. Calculated means that you've thought about it. You've added, you subtracted, and you divided. And now you've got your answer. And sometimes you have to go back and tweak your answer because you have a remainder or anything like that. Even though these kids nowadays in their math don't have a remainder. I don't know how that happens. But anyway, you just have to make sure that you know when you're doing something that you're adding or subtracting. And then also, even if you don't have, get a plan. A lot of us go into things and risk is not getting a plan. You need to get a plan. If you know that you are, you would like to marry someone, are you ready to be married? Are you ready to take on a wife? Are you ready to do those things? And you can't take on a wife if you're still in your mom's house and you're still doing things as a boy. So those things, if calculated risk, if you would like to be a husband, and if you would like to be a wife, the thing is, are you still doing the things that just a single woman would do? So there's things that you guys have to do in regards to getting that calculated risk into fruition to be a reality. And there's things that we always say in therapy, that if you want to do, if you are a known alcoholic, there's certain steps, the AA steps that we say that you have to do in regards to stay sober. It's not about that you feel like you can do this on your own. Yes, okay, fine. However, there are steps in place that you don't have to do it on your own. And the steps will tell you and show you that you struggle with that dependency, whether it be alcohol, whether it be gambling, whether it be drugs, whether it be sex. There's a whole lot of addictions out there that you can get addicted to. However, the calculated risk that you would take, and if you take that next drink, that can calculate it, because you can calculate it, but if you had those steps in place, that I can either pick up the bottle or I can pick up the phone and call my sponsor. So those are the things that we say putting in place. And you can put these calculated risks in place for every area of your life. But this one we're talking about success, and meaning success across the board. Meaning when we say being successful, marching is success. Marching is success may be different for other people, and it may be different for you right now. If success means that I'm going to get out of depression right now, then you need to take those steps. And if you feel like you need to open a business right now, then you need to take those steps. If you feel like you're going to finish school this year or next year, so you're going to enter into to higher education, then you need to take the calculated steps to be successful in that. What are you being successful in? If you're doing a business, then what are you doing, the steps? Are you doing the necessary training to be successful in that? If you find that you're going to be CEO of your company next year, how are you going to do that? If you want to make partner in your law firm, how are you going to do that? You need to know what calculated risk, if you're doing that, if you're coming in from 9 to 5, you're not staying after. When I leave, I leave after my boss leaves. And she's not even my boss. She's my supervisor. I leave sometimes. I close down a clinic sometimes because I love what I do. But you got to know what you know and know that whatever calculated risk that you take, know that it's best for you.
And that was great. And for implementation of technology, basically, as we share, if you feel that you're not comfortable, go take a class. I don't care if it's a community college around you. I don't care if it's if the high school in your area is offering adult classes. If you're of age, go find out about Excel, learn about Word, learn about PowerPoint, learn about Facebook, learn about Instagram. Learn about all the things that will help you navigate what we're doing in this particular season. Don't just think that, and I respect those who jot things down by hand, but after a while, if you really want to save it, after you jot it down by hand, you're still going to have to digitize it and archive it. So if you didn't understand by me saying digitize and archive, then those are words that you have to start to get yourself acclimated in. And once you start getting acclimated to those words, it starts at one level. Next, you know, the scaffold just goes crazy. You're thinking that, oh, no, I'll just basically get comfortable with this thing. And next, you know, you'll start doing stuff on these machines that even will boggle your own mind. And you'll remember, like, wait a minute, I remember when I felt I couldn't even create anything. Now all of a sudden I'm in publishing and I'm making pamphlets and I'm creating, you know, slides and things of that nature to help promote what I'm doing. And all it takes is by you taking that first step and saying, removing the word can't out of your vocabulary, I can. Make sure the word can't is removed. And once you do that, you can implement anything that's going to allow you to be successful, especially within your plan, and it's going to lead you towards the future success down the road. So, we've reached the great point of the telecast, where it's time for the motivational moments. And as always, we start off the lovely Cheryl Clark, who's going to give her motivational moment of the week.
So, my motivational moment is forgiveness versus forget. This forgiveness is something that is very, very key. Forgiveness is something that people say they do, but they don't do. They forget. They don't forgive. And you can have a choice to forgive or forget. And the whole point is forgiveness is for not just for that person, but it's for you. If you feel like somebody has wronged you, if you feel like they've hurt you, the whole point is if you forgive them, then it will never surface. And if it does, then it doesn't have to forget. The whole point is if you forget it, you subliminally suppress it. So when something comes up and it triggers something in you, or that person may do something to trigger something in you, the thing is you suppress the moment that you can get that back at them. So the point is that if something is hurting you and you haven't forgiven the person, the thing is forgetting and forgiving is for you. Forgiving is for you. Forgetting is something that you suppress, something that you should have probably forgiven, because that forgiving aspect will never, ever come up again if you just forgave the person for what they have wronged you for. And that person could have really wronged you. But if you forgave them, then you can move on. But if you've forgotten about it, or say, I'm just going to suppress that, it comes up in inopportune times that it becomes very hurtful to the other person. So forgetting and forgiving is two words that mainly seem like the same thing, but are two different things and two different aspects. So today, reaching your heart today and forgive someone for something that they did and truly forgive them. It's a path of forgiveness, and it's going to benefit you in the long run.
That was very good.
Great.
And my motivational moment of the week deals with the acceptance that life is unfair. And why would you use that as a motivational tone? Because sometimes we still have individuals who think that life is supposed to be fair. I remember when we were in churches or previous churches and people would say, favor isn't fair. And it's true. Favor is not supposed to be fair. Did you work for something? Did you grow in different aspects? Did you put in the time? Did you put in the necessary steps to do something? But then you want a benefit. So the universe doesn't work that way. Just because you show up, that's part of the unction to get something done. Now you've shown up, now you have to do. You don't just show up and say, okay, I've shown up, okay, now give me everything that I'm desiring in my mind. Doesn't work that way. It's not supposed to work that way. And then sometimes some of you out there, and even I can say for myself, I may have done it before in the past, will turn around and start pointing fingers outside of myself to say, well, I showed up and they still did this. And I showed up and I don't understand. And I showed up and no, stop. You showed up and did what? If you just showed up without really being prepared for the situations at hand, for being, how should I say, to actually be able to navigate the situation that's in front of you, then life is going to give you what you put into it. Now, my motivational moment is mainly to let you know that you have the ability to not put yourself in that predicament. And that's what the couple motivators are here for. It's about you taking that opportunity, taking the necessary steps. It's not all going to come in one day. There are days that I may do things that are not perfect. Through that, if I take it from the aspect of learning from those particular moments, then that's how I grow. That's how people around me grow. And after a while, it doesn't become a situation of pointing fingers. Because now, and then it becomes up to me to say, okay, I understand the situation. Now, how do I navigate it if it ever presents itself again? It's not for me to say that life is unfair or life is supposed to be fair because I showed up. And that shouldn't happen, or that shouldn't occur, or whatever the situation that happens. And I want those of you out there who sometimes feel that you're behind some level of discomfort or discomfort, that you're thinking that certain things are not moving in a particular way, check your vibration. Check your vibration. Don't look at the situations outside of you. Check your vibration. And by checking your vibration, now you have to start internalizing the situation before you externalize it. Nothing comes to you, and I'm going to leave you this, nothing comes to you that's not already in you. Even when strife comes, that strife is just an outpicturing of what's going on inside of you. As much as we may try to negate and not try to acknowledge it or may try to deflect it back, nothing appears around you that's not already emanating in you. When I get upset with my kids and I get riled up and riled up and riled up and I get yelling and get the blood boiling, as much as that they may have done something, that's still an aspect of me. There's something in me. Because that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have occurred. So I can't sit there and say life is unfair because my child did this or my wife did that or my auntie did this or my cousin did that. What is your vibration? We said it a couple of weeks ago about pigeons and eagles. Eagles can have that moment where it's like, you know, maybe I just need to figure out what's going on. But at the same time, the eagle needs to stay an eagle. You can have those momentary lapses where you just, you know, you relax for a second and then you prop yourself back up to say, like, okay, what is it in me that allowed this to come around? Life is not supposed to be fair. Life is really going to be navigated and conquered by those who don't make excuses, who will push themselves to be the best that they can be. And while you're on that path, as I said, you're going to get nicked, you're going to get scratched, you're going to argue, you're going to claw, fuss, fight, all the other stuff. But that still doesn't negate the plan. That still doesn't negate the situation. And like one thing I have to carry over from what my wife said is true. After a while, you have to learn how to forgive. Fully forgive. Don't forget. Forgive. And if we navigate those tributaries properly, then a lot of stuff is mitigated. Nothing's going to be perfect. Don't go through life thinking that every business, every personal relationship is going to be perfect. It's not. So you understand that that's just par for the course. But as long as you understand that life is not supposed to be fair, then you're already ahead of the game. So, Cheryl, what do you want to say to the people as we have a couple of minutes left before we go?
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming every week. And if you have anything you would like to email us, you can email us at thecouplemotivators@gmail.com. Any questions, any comments, any topics, anything you would like to say, hear, or do later on throughout the next April.
So the end of April?
Yeah, the beginning of April.
Oh, okay.
Because March is out of here. We're marching right out of here. Hopefully you're marching right into your success.
And as Cheryl alluded to and shared, it's true. March is rolling out of here. I wish the temperatures were back like it was March, but that's another story for another day. But as Cheryl stated, and I will concur with, we are very pleasantly thankful that you do take the time to view us, to hear the wisdom that we are wishing to share, because as we share the wisdom, we keep it, and as you receive it, that means we're doing what we're supposed to do so we can continue to download and to receive more to share. So that's a great testament in the circle of life. We're not sitting here just saying we gravitate to the information or receive this information and we're just sitting on it. We're taking the opportunity to share with you, because as we build ourselves up and we build you up, then we all rise with the tide. So until next week, when we conclude marching towards your success, we'll be dealing with numbers 9 and 10, and those two are going to be a doozy, 9 and 10, because now we moved you from infancy, and now we bring you up to adulthood. And once we get you to adulthood, it's up to you to take this thing and to run with it like never before. So on behalf of the lovely, vivacious Cheryl Clark, this is Gregory Clark Sr., signing off saying, breathe life daily, make choices, and no excuses. And also, if you haven't done so already, remember to go like us on our Facebook page, The Couple Motivators, and also type in Esquire9971. That's our YouTube channel. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see our videos as our video archive is growing by leaps and bounds. That's Esquire, Esquire, 9971, our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com, type in that channel, subscribe, be with us as usual. Cheryl?
Thank you, and God bless.
Peace and corn grease.